I'm joined now by Susan Allegra, human rights barrister at Doughty Street Chambers. Susan, am I right?
Well, you're not wrong. It does seem to be a solution without a problem. So you do have to ask, you know, what is the purpose and what are the consequences? And, you know, we've seen over the past 10 years that there are challenges with our elections, for example, around campaigning and electoral funding in the digital era. You know, there are challenges about profiling and targeting voters. But what there isn't is a problem with voter personation fraud. And, you know, you've given the figures there today. So I think we do have to look at what the impact will be of a law like this. And as you say, we live in a country where ID is not mandatory in general. And so you have to ask, why should you require ID for voting where we don't all have to have ID?
I mean, Susan, it seems to me the government, when you're listening to their arguments, they say, look, they already have ID in Northern Ireland and they already have ID to vote in parts of the European Union. But it would seem to me that you can, those cases fall into quite big exceptions. It has never been the British way to show an ID card to make your way and to do things. And therefore, so Europe is in a completely different situation because for them, for many of them, ID cards are very regular. And clearly Northern Ireland is a very exceptional situation because of the long-standing difficult issues between communities in that part of the United Kingdom.
Absolutely, as you say. I mean, I think if you look at the EU, and I mean, you know, I've lived in several EU countries where I have had a mandatory ID, and everybody's used to having an ID, and therefore it's not a hurdle to voting. And that's what I say, in a country where we've been extremely resistant to the idea of mandatory ID cards for whatever reason, to then introduce them and create an extra hurdle to voting seems to really go against the grain. And as you say, it doesn't feel as if it fits within our cultural approach, if you like, to ID cards. If we did all have mandatory ID cards, then it might not be such an issue. But when you look at the costs and also just the practical hurdles of getting an ID, whether that's getting a driver's license or a passport or whatever other form of ID might be possible, you know, the problems we have in the UK are around voter turnout. They're not around fraud. And I was looking at the numbers in 2019. It's also interesting where the problems are in voter turnout. That it was 47% of 18 to 24-year-olds turned up to vote, while 74% of the over 65s turned up to vote. So if you look at 18 to 24-year-olds, you know, how many of them, particularly in a big city like London, are going to have a driver's licence? When we look at the impact as well of the pandemic, you know, who's going on holiday? Why would you have a passport? Yeah. Even if you had had a passport, you probably wouldn't be renewing it right now for £85. So you have to wonder at this approach that we're really not targeting the issues that we do have around our elections. And we're sort of creating a set of new problems, which we don't need.
And you've listed those issues, the biggest being voter turnout. But the government could, for example, be extending the franchise to 16-year-olds. Many people think 16-year-olds should be entitled to vote. And where there are electoral problems, the government could, of course, be dealing with lobbying and the dangers of money in the political process. Presumably, they could also be dealing with international interference in the political process, which was a subject of much discussion because of concerns at Russian interference in our democracy and in the democracy of the United States. As a lawyer, I would have thought one might think that those were the issues that stack up, not putting this extra barrier in the way of ordinary voters.
Absolutely. I mean, our right to free and fair elections is absolutely crucial to our democracy. And that involves our right to participate and to understand that, you know, that the playing field is level. And as you've said, there are challenges and we've seen big challenges. And one of the big ones, I think, is around campaigning and the way our data is now able to be used by political parties and campaigning in the digital age, where, you know, our laws are set up for another era where we're dealing with mainstream media and media coverage of political campaigns. You know, those are areas where you know, modernisation in electoral law would be very welcome and might well, you know, help to ensure faith in our electoral system. But, you know, as you said at the start, this is a solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Is it fair of me to compare this to the horrendous situation historically that we've seen in the United States and Donald Trump again engaging in voter suppression in the United States, or is it comparable?
I think the United States, you know, it has its own challenges, but I certainly think it's the case that the people that are most likely to be excluded by this kind of measure are going to be the people who can't afford a passport, are going to be the kind of people who don't already have a passport or a driver's license. And as you said, you know, even looking at who those people are, you know, 74% of people in general in the UK hold a driving license. But when you look at minorities, it's around 60% of Asian people and potentially under 50% of black people or other minorities. And so, you know, when you're looking at who doesn't have these documents, and you mentioned as well that, you know, the Windrush generation, it is likely to disproportionately affect minorities or people, you know, who don't have funds, who aren't able to just go out and get a passport in order to be able to go and vote. But aside from having one of these IDs, the fact of remembering it, being able to find it, taking it with you on election day, all those things just add an extra hurdle to the kind of people who may well be wondering whether they can be bothered to go to the polls on election day in the first place. And so it really does exacerbate that issue of voter turnout as well.
Susan Allegra, human rights barrister at Doughty Street Chambers, thank you so much for kicking off the discussion this afternoon. So please